The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord. I speak to you in the name of the one holy and living God.
Amen.
Please be seated. This story, this gospel story of the Transfiguration, I think is maybe my favorite gospel story. And as I reflected on it, honestly, I'm not sure if I can say why I love it so much. But I have a sense that it's because in some way, some mysterious sort of way, the whole gospel is present in this one moment, in this one scene. And maybe we could say all of the gospel is present in every moment. But this particular scene captures so many layers of meaning. Some scholars have called it a misplaced or a proleptic resurrection appearance because it so resembles the later scenes of Jesus appearing. It's almost like the Transfiguration is giving us a sort of sneak preview of what's to come at Easter. And at the same time that the resurrection is present here in advance, we're also mysteriously back at the moment of Jesus' baptism, when the divine voice declares him, "My Son, the Beloved," or here in Luke's telling, "My Chosen." And I think, in a similar way, the crucifixion, which John's gospel calls Jesus' glorification, is also present here on the Holy Mountain. We're told that Moses and Elijah were speaking with him of his departure, of his death, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. And so, in some way, that too is here. New Testament scholar Dale Allison calls the Transfiguration and the Crucifixion twin images. And he says that these two images represent the extremities of human experience. And Jesus is the great illustration of both pain and hope. He is humanity exalted and humanity glorified. In some way, the crucifixion is present here in the Transfiguration, and the Transfiguration shines through even in, maybe especially in, Jesus dying on the cross. And Luke and the other gospel authors, they show us that this moment, this Transfiguration moment, happens in some way outside of time, or maybe that it contains all of time. We see that Moses and Elijah, two of the great figures of salvation history, are present here. And so I like to imagine, held in this one moment, the whole gospel, the whole of salvation history. The light at the beginning on the first day of creation shining here on the mountain. The light of the prophets who have come throughout time, of Moses and Elijah shining. The voice at the baptism of Jesus here again speaking. Jesus' glorification at the crucifixion here present. The light bursting forth from the tomb at the resurrection shining here. And the light into which everything will be enfolded once again on the last day. All of it present, all of it held here in this one moment. And again, maybe it would be better to say all of it present in every moment. All of it seen or revealed here in this moment. I'm sure you're familiar with stories told by people who have had near-death experiences when they talk about in the moment of their near death, their entire life flashes before them in a moment. Well, perhaps here we have the entire life of creation, from the Big Bang to our final return into God, flashing before us in the face of Jesus. In his sonnet, Transfiguration, Malcolm Geat writes that the love that dances at the heart of things shone out upon us from a human face. And he calls this seeing a glimpse of how things really are. Here we see in this moment the fullness of God that's actually present in every moment if we had eyes to see. We see here every moment held in the light of that fullness. But how is it that we see this? What opens this door? What opens this seeing? Well, Luke tells us that Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, his face changed. While he was praying, this whole text, this whole experience hinges on the fact that Jesus was praying, that he was deep in prayer. Prayer is our doorway into this light. And by prayer, I don't simply mean having a conversation with God, although that certainly can be a doorway, but rather I mean that state of deep abiding, of opening and surrendering into God's love. And I imagine every one of us here has seen the same light dancing in the face or in the eyes of someone who is a truly prayerful person. Many of you here who are monks, you'll of course remember Avery Brook, who was an oblate of this monastery. In her little book, Finding God in the World, she tells about an experience she had while she was meeting with someone for spiritual direction. She writes, "Once one of my directees had just done something of which she was horribly ashamed. She was utterly mired in feelings of despair and sat in my study with her head buried in her hands. No words of mine penetrated, and I didn't know what to do. But God did, and I found myself caught up in a tremendous peace and surety. It was so strong, I knew it must be showing on my face. So I told her over and over, 'Look at me. Just look at me.' Finally, she did, and it was all right, as I knew it would be. Afterwards, she said to me wonderingly, 'You were the love of God to me.' And I knew she was right, and that the action had been God's and not mine." We're told in our scripture readings that both Moses and Jesus' faces shone in the same way with divine light. Prayer, surrendering into God, is what opens us to this light, to the eternal, and allows it to shine forth through us so that we can be God's love to the world. It's what puts things in their proper perspective and allows us to see things as they really are. Eastern Orthodox tradition has spent a lot of time unpacking this light, the story of the Transfiguration. And the accepted teaching is that what is seen on Mount Tabor shining through Jesus is the uncreated light of God, what's sometimes called the Taborian light. And they say that it's this same light that was encountered throughout the Hebrew Scriptures as the glory of God, that it's also the light of the resurrection, that it's the light of the flames at Pentecost, that it's all one light suffusing all Scripture, all creation. And in these moments when our eyes are readied by prayer, when we're truly open, or sometimes in moments that just take us entirely by surprise, we see it. We see this light shining out. And some Orthodox theologians go so far as to say that even the fires of hell are simply this one uncreated light encountered by squinty, narrow eyes that are not yet ready, not yet adjusted to behold and take in its full glory. And so we start readying our eyes now through prayer to behold that light. St. Augustine, in his Confessions, writes about turning within in his prayer and discovering this light in his own soul. He writes, "I entered into the secret closet of my soul, led by you. And this I could do because you were my helper. I entered and beheld with the mysterious eye of my soul the light that never changes. It was not the common light which all flesh can see. It was not like this, but different, altogether different from all such things. One who knows the truth knows that light and knows eternity. Love knows it." A few years later, in the 5th century, the man that we remember as Dionysius the Areopagite, he would write in similar words in his book, The Celestial Hierarchy, "The light spreads itself generously towards us, and in its power to unify, it stirs us by lifting us up. It returns us back to the oneness and the deifying simplicity of the Father who gathers us all in." In one sense, the gospel, the entire gospel, is nothing more than a constant revealing and refracting of this one light, calling us all chosen and beloved in the waters of baptism, on the cross revealing its presence in and its holding of our suffering and pain, in the resurrection assuring us that love is stronger even than death. And all of it, all of these moments, the whole story present today in the fullness of the light of the Transfiguration on Mount Tabor. This one simple and unifying light of the Father, refracted in all these beautiful ways, always working to gather us in. And we're all invited this morning, challenged to join in this work as we join with Jesus in prayer. As he prayed, his face was changed, and God's light shone through him. As we pray, we are changed, and we become vessels of that same light. And with that, I want to end with a prayer, a poem. This is a poem that comes from Christine Lohr Weber. It's titled, "Mother Wisdom Speaks." And in it, she's writing about this process of being opened and transfigured in prayer. And I give her the last word. She writes, or better, God speaks. "Some of you I will hollow out. I will make you a cave. I will carve you so deep that the stars will shine in your darkness. You will be a bowl. You will be the cup in the rock collecting rain. I will hollow you out with knives. I will not do this to make you clean. I will not do this to make you pure. You are clean already. You are pure already. I will do this because the world needs the hollowness of you. I will do this for the space you will be. I will do this because you must be large, a passage. People will find their way through you, a bowl. People will eat from you, and their hunger will not weaken them unto death. a cup to catch the sacred rain. My daughter, do not cry. Do not be afraid. Nothing you need will be lost. I am shaping you. I am making you ready. Light will flow in your hollowing. You will be filled with light. Your bones will shine. The round, open center of you will be radiant. I will call you brilliant one. I will call you daughter who is wide. I will call you transformed. I will call you transfigured. Transfigured by the one light that is the love dancing at the heart of things, the one light that holds every moment, that contains the fullness of the gospel, the one light by which we see things as they really are. And so, with Jesus, may we also pray, and may we also be transfigured. Amen.